Nehemiah chapter 8. If you know a little bit about Nehemiah and the book of Nehemiah, what's going on is the fact that Nehemiah took place at the end of the captivity where Israel was being released from Babylon, and they were being sent back. Sometimes the people, and this is a good picture for you and I, sometimes we get comfortable in a place where we're not supposed to be. Sometimes we get comfortable, and the children of Israel had gotten comfortable in Babylon. But God wanted them back in the land. He said, I'm going to take them out. And he told Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 25, he said, you're going to be 70 years in Babylon. 70 years you're going to be outside of your property, the land that I've given you. And why is that? Because of their sin. They refused. God told them when he put them in the land to make sure that they had saved 1 year out of every seven, that they let the land rest. And they refused to let the land rest. God provided for them enough in 6 years that they didn't even have to plant in the seventh year. But they planted anyway. Why? Because they got greedy. I want to tell you something. In our country today, now this bothers me big time, in the fact that we have farmers that the government pays them not to plant. Figure that out. I want to tell you something. That is an evil concept. That does not come from God. That does not come from the Bible. That is an evil concept. Hey, we ought to have plenty of food for everybody. Why is your groceries going up? Because they're paying farmers not to plant. Why is it that the fast food places are so popular? Because the farmers aren't doing their job to give us plenty of food, and the food would be cheaper if the farmers were doing what they're supposed to do. What, I mean, are you really a farmer if you're not farming? Amen. Are you really a preacher if you're not preaching? I mean, you can run that as far as you want. I'm not going to get on that, but the children of Israel had gotten to a point where they were planting on days when they weren't supposed to, on years that they weren't supposed to, and for 490 years, they didn't skip. They planted every year, every seventh year. Now you say, why on earth were they in the land of Babylon for 70 years? Because God was getting it all back at one time. He was getting it all back at one time. Take that seven and divide it into 490, and you get 70 years. Why was the children of Israel in Babylon for 70 years? Because God was getting it all back. At one time, you think, hey, there are people out here in this world, and they think, oh, I got away with it. It's not going to happen.
Right.
Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You're not going to get away with it. Oh, you might get away with it for now, but God's going to call it all in at one time. And that's what he was doing with the children of Israel. That's why they were in Babylon. But after the 70 years was, God had sent them back and was sending the children of Israel back, but not many of them were going back. And when they went back, Nehemiah found out in chapter 1 of Nehemiah that they were not able to build the wall. Oh my. Boy, I can get off on that real quick here. I want to tell you something. Our country needs a wall just like Jerusalem needed a wall.
Amen.
For the same reasons. Why? Because the wall represents protection. How many of you have got a house without walls? I don't either, amen? Wouldn't want to live in one like that. But the truth is, they were needing a wall around the city to protect them from being attacked by their enemies. And Nehemiah was the one that God chose to send back. He wasn't a preacher. He wasn't a politician. He was a simple cupbearer for the king. And God sent him back in such a fashion, he knew, he wept because the wall wasn't being built, that the people were unprotected, that the enemy was going in and out and stealing everything and anything they could. And he wept. I want to tell you something. When we care enough to weep, God's going to move in. God will start doing something. God will care. You care enough about your family. You care enough about your children. You care enough about your country. You care enough about your church or your Bible to weep over it. You care enough about those that are lost to weep over them. That's when God likes to work. That's when he'll step in. Nehemiah was weeping in chapter 1, and what happened is the fact that he was weeping over the situation, and he was praying. He started praying, and then God said, I know, I got somebody I'm going to send back. And he pointed his finger at Nehemiah. He said, I want to send you back. You're the one that cares enough. You're the one that weeps enough. You're the one that's got the burden. And sometimes God uses us. If you care enough, God's going to use you. If you don't want to be used, well, you better keep praying and keep reading, because the Bible's got a plan for you. God's got a plan for you, and it's in there. It's in his book. But Nehemiah had gone back. He had had a plan. There's different situations. You look at the different scenarios where you've got Sanballat and you've got Tobiah and you've got Gershom, and they were fighting every step of the way trying to keep that wall from coming up. I want to ask you a question.
I wasn't planning on hitting on this, but it's right here in the message. Why would people be afraid or get upset over our country building a wall? Why would it bother them? Somebody that loves this country wouldn't have a problem with putting a wall up. In fact, a lot of those that are vocal about building a wall around our country, go look at their houses. They not only have a house with walls, but they've got huge walls around their house.
But I want you to understand, Nehemiah went back. He said, they tried to stop him. They tried to sidetrack him. But praise God, step by step, God used Nehemiah. He sent him back. He had everything he needed. He prayed about it, and God said, okay, you need some letters. And you need to go back, and you need to have letters for lumber, and you need to have letters for helpers, you need to have letters for this. You got to have a letter for permission to go through these certain areas and all these things. And everything he needed, God told him about ahead of time, and he got it from the king. He got permission from the king to go back and build the wall. Where we're reading right here in Nehemiah chapter 8, the wall has been built. And what they're doing is they're celebrating. There's something special going on in chapter 8. Let's stand in honor of the word of God. I'm going to read a few verses here. I love this passage. I love Nehemiah. Starting with verse 1, it says, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. Now, how many of you would like for me to read the Bible from now till noon? I wouldn't want to do it either. But if it's God's book and you never heard it, which is what these people were, They had never heard God's word. There are people in other countries that would stand here as long as you could read, and they'd listen to you just to hear from God. And look at what it says. And it says, before the men and the women and those that could understand and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood, and I'm not going to go through all the names, look at verse 5. And it says, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up of their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you. You are the great God. You are the great God of the book. And Lord, we ask you to meet with us today. Lord, we thank you for each one that's here. And Lord, we pray for you just to move in a special way. Lord, our desire is for you to be in our midst. Let us hear from you. Lord, we love you. We need you. And Lord, we need to hear from you. Keep the preacher out of your way and in your will. For it's in that mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I look at this particular passage and I think about the fact that there was no question, you know, it does not say in here that they told Ezra to go get a book.
Amen.
Amen. It said, go bring the book. Amen. I've got the book here today. Okay. It's my King James Bible. I don't have to wonder what Dr. So-and-so or the Professor Do-Gooder says, or I don't need the commentaries. I let God's Word comment to me on His own. The Holy Spirit's inside of me. But when I read one version and another version says something else, I know they both ain't not God's word.
That's right.
Can't be.
Amen.
I heard somebody say something about things that are different are not the same. Amen.
Yes, sir.
And the truth is, they told Ezra to go get the book. You know what he didn't do? He said, didn't say which book. Amen. He went and got God's book. And what did he do? He went and got it and he gathered the people. I want to tell you something. One of the things that our country is, it's dangerous about our country, is the fact that we're getting away from the book. We're getting away from God's book. We're throwing the Bible out, the only textbook that used to be in our church, in our schools, is now banned from being in God's or being in the schools. What, so it isn't one. There's no wonder why kids are going crazy,
right?
And they're going after drugs, they're going after sex, they're going after witchcraft, they're going after all kinds of evolution and strange religions. Hey, why? Because they don't want the book. If you give the children, if you give people a choice between God's book and other books, they'll choose God's book every time. That's why there's such a fight in this world against this book. You go into, come into our country with a Quran, you're not going to die. But you go into some of those Middle Eastern countries with a Bible, and you'll die for it.
Right.
Why? Because they hate the book. Why? Because the God that they serve hates God, the true God.
Amen. That's right.
They're not serving the true God. We don't all serve the same God.
That's right. Amen.
My God sent his son to the cross.
Right.
But if you look in the Quran, you'll see that Allah had no son. So how could he send his son to the cross? Allah had no son. He had daughters. And he's the moon God.
Yep.
I don't know, I'll get off that in a minute. But the truth is, this is the book that bothers people. I was preaching in a church up in Leesburg, and I got there a little early. I wasn't sure how long it was going to take me. And I got there a little early, and I went into, I was dressed like I am now. I got there probably an hour and a half early. I went by the church and the preacher wasn't there yet, so I ran up to McDonald's not too far down the road. And I walked into McDonald's. Here, it was on a Sunday morning sometime in May, June, I don't know, I don't remember when. But all these people were in their shorts, in their bathing suits. They were going to the beach or going fishing or this, that, or the other. And here I had come in with my suit and tie. And I bring my big old black Bible. And I sit right down there and I'm eating and I'm just studying my message, studying my Bible. You'd have thought I brought in an AK-47. In fact, I think it wouldn't have bothered them as much. The truth is, people don't like that book. Why don't they like it? It's God's book. You want to know how to get to heaven? You can find it right in there. You want to find out what happens if you don't go to heaven? It's right there too.
Amen.
They told Ezra to bring the book. And there's only one book.
Amen.
The rest of them are men's books. This one is not men's book. It's not men penned this book, but God spoke it into existence. God told men what to write. There are things in this book that could not be there had there not been a God in heaven.
That's right. Amen.
A special God in intertwined these men, overtook these men, and had them write this book.
Amen.
But not only did they tell him to bring the book, but then they gathered around the book, just like we are this morning. We're gathered around the book. Hey, I don't want you to, I hope you don't come to church because of this old guy. Because I can tell you right now, I wouldn't come to hear me. Amen. If it wasn't something special about what I have to say, and it's the book that I preach out of, and it's the Savior I proclaim, that's the only thing special about what anything I say.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
There's no good in me but Jesus.
Right.
Anything good that comes from me, it's going to come from Him. I'm just the spout. He just turns the water on, amen?
Amen.
But not only did the people gather around the book, they didn't just bring the book, they didn't just gather around the book, but they read the book. I want to tell you something. There are times when we all probably slack on our Bible reading. When you've got a problem, don't go to Dr. Drygoods. Go to Dr. Jesus.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you right up front. You don't need psychiatrists or counselors or anything like that. Jesus is the only wonderful counselor I know. The rest of them are fallible men. In fact, I'm going to tell you, if you study, the psychologists and psychiatrists are way up on the suicide rate. If they had the answers, why is that? They're going to cause problems. They don't have the answers. God's got the answer.
Amen.
Everything we need is right here. Not only did they gather around the book, not only did they bring the book, not only did they read the book, but look at verse 5. And it says, "And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people." They saw what he was doing. It says, "For he was above all the people." And now I like verse 4. Why is it that I don't have a plastic lectern to preach from? I've got a pulpit of wood, just like Ezra had. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? And it says, why is it that he was above the people? Now, I don't have a pulpit that I stand on, okay? But we got a platform that we stand on. I am not above the people because of me. Okay? It's because of the office I hold, and it's because of the book that I preach from and the Savior I proclaim.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Nothing about me. Absolutely nothing about me. I'm a fallible man. I've got the same struggles you do.
Amen.
But I hope I go to the same place you do to get them resolved, and that's to Jesus.
Amen.
And the truth is here, they stand for the book. What, you, a lot of people don't understand why we stand when we read the Bible. We stand in honor of the book. We don't worship the book, okay? We worship the God of the book. But when I open this book, it speaks to my heart because it's a love letter from my Savior that loved me so much that He was willing to die for me.
Yes, sir.
I don't know too many people. I'm not sure I'd die for me. But I sure am glad He did.
Yes, man.
The most important thing for any of us is to make real sure that we don't just have the book, but we open the book and we read the book and we honor the book. But look at what else. Verse 6. It says, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. I want to tell you something. That's what the book is all about, for us to know Him. Brother Knickerbocker told us in Sunday school about the fact that God wants us to know Him. And a lot of times through the scriptures, I've lost count. I think it's something like 60 or 70 different times just in the book of Ezekiel itself, that the Lord says that they may know me, or they may know that I am the Lord, or that you may know me, or that Egypt may know me. A lot of times in that passage, why is the Bible so important? Because God knows that your best interest is all wrapped up in you knowing Him. If you don't know Him, if you don't trust Him, I guarantee you, you're going to pay a price. He's got the answers.
Yes, sir.
Why would you not go to the answer? I mean, it's not like it's a hard combination. All I've got, hey, my book isn't sealed. It's not chained to the pulpit. I take it home. But when I read it, something happens in here. Something special happens inside. And when I read it, I hear about how much He loves me.
Yes, sir.
I hear, Brian, you ought not do that. That's not the decision you need to make. And I hear time and time and time and time again how He loves me, how He protects me, how He answers my prayer. Why on earth would He, the Creator of the universe, want to listen to you or me? There are times I talk to myself because nobody else wants to. Amen? But the truth is, hey, He cares about what I say and who I am and what happens to me. So much so that He would have died just for me. He would have died just for you. He would have died just for any one person. But the truth is, His sacrifice was great enough to pay for everybody. Not only do you read the book because it teaches us to worship the God of the book, but look at verse 8. It says, so they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. We have Sunday school here. One of the things that I want to make sure of, it bothers people sometimes to think, well, he used to be a Bible college professor. And that's true. But even when I was a Bible college professor, the very first teaching job I ever had, that young lady over there that I've been married to for 41 years, got me my first teaching job.
Amen.
In third grade Sunday school. And I want you to understand, it doesn't do any good to go to a church where the preacher has to feel so special that he has to use words and phrases and terminology that you cannot understand. What good is it
You need to be going somewhere where you can understand the book. And if I'm not teaching it here, I'll encourage you to go somewhere else.
Amen.
Because the book is what matters, not the preacher.
Right.
There's so many of them that get caught up in themselves.
Yes, sir.
But I want you to know, it doesn't matter about the preacher if he's not preaching the right book.
Right.
If he's not preaching the right Savior. If he's not standing right for the book. If he's not doing things God's way. If he's not trying to keep himself clean and pure. One of my favorite passages in Scripture is Daniel 1:8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. I challenge myself every day with that verse. Because it doesn't take much to defile yourself.
That's right.
The devil's got all kinds of vile stuff in this world to clean and to mess you up, to get you off track, to make you to a point where you have to get things right before God will even hear your prayers. Mm-hmm. The most important thing is we do things God's way. Look at what it says in verse 9, 10, and 11. There's something special in these verses that they all say the same thing, or pretty much. It says, and Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, and unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. I want to stop there. Look at verse 10. It says in the middle of the verse, it says, this day is holy unto our Lord. Look at verse 11. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved. I want to tell you something. I love that book. That's why we call our church Bible Baptist Church. Because it's all about the Bible, all about the God of the Bible. This day is special. It's our anniversary. It's an anniversary that we never even imagined would come in a place only God knew.
Amen.
But I understand too that the day is holy. There's a holy God that we're bowed before, that we're wanting to hear from today, that wants Him to have His way in our midst and in our lives. And if we want to keep it holy, we're going to keep using the book. Keep preaching the book. Keep reading the book. Keep standing for the book. Keep honoring the God of the book. And when we look at verse 12. We'll see what happens. And it says, and all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. I want to tell you something. That word mirth is one we don't use very often, but mirth simply means to be happy, to rejoice. And the people were happy that they heard. I want to tell you, in our country, we've gotten cold because of the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
We've had the Bible for so long. We've heard the preaching for so long. We've gotten tired of it. I want to tell you something, that's a dangerous place to go.
Yes, sir.
And we're seeing it. Why is it that our country right now is experiencing so many natural disasters, so much economy problems, our economy is going nuts? Why is it that we're having so many issues, so many problems with people going crazy and shooting and driving down the road and plowing up people and killing people? That, hey, I want to tell you something. When you teach them they came from animals, don't be surprised when they start acting like that. In fact, they're encouraging them to act like animals when they teach them they came from animals.
Yeah.
But I'm glad today we've set aside a day to honor, to glorify, and lift up the Lord because he's done something in 5 years in Bartow that Bartow's never seen before. There's never been a church plant in Bartow that we know of. An independent, fundamental, King James Bible believing, sin-killing, devil-hating Baptist church.
Amen.
Amen.
Never been one of those critters the last 5 years that we know of. It's not about me. This old boy, not real smart, but I'm just smart enough to follow Jesus. And when he says, build a wall over there, by the way, that's what he's telling our country too, amen. But anyway, but he said, build a wall there, we need a fellowship hall. And I say, Lord, what if we outgrow the sanctuary? If we outgrow the sanctuary, we got another lot on the other side we'll build on. Amen? Hey, he's going to take care of us. It's all about him. He's going to build his church. That's what the verse says. Jesus said, I will build my church. I'm not going to build it. Nothing special about this old rascal except the fact that I trust Jesus. It's all about him. And we're going to stick with the book. But we're going to see what God will do next. I'm still, if you get my newsletter, you'll see that my postscript at the end of the letter says I'm still amazed. And I am. I'm still amazed. And I don't ever want to get to a point where I'm not. Because I've got an amazing God who does amazing things. And I'm excited about the future of Bible Baptist Church. I'm excited that you guys are here to celebrate our fifth anniversary. But the most important thing is you celebrate Jesus. Do you know him as Savior? Do you know for sure? Because there's an awful hot place that you're going to spend eternity if you die without him. And the shame of it all is, he died, and he died to save you from going to that place. He died to keep everybody from going there. It wasn't even created for people. The most important thing is, do you know him? Do you know for sure your name's in God's book? The Bible says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Don't let anybody try to lie to you and tell you that's not true. That book, that lake of fire is not true. It is true. And it's going to happen. Most important thing is, I want you to celebrate Jesus today. I want you to get saved if you're not saved. If you are saved and then get and you're not serving him, there's a place here, right here at Bible Baptist Church for you to serve him. But the most important thing is you get close to Jesus and stay there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. Lord, we love you. We thank you. And Lord, I just pray for you to do something special in the invitation. Lord, you know what the heart or what the needs of the hearts are. And Lord, I just pray for you to meet each one. For it's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.